You're listening to the Dr. Laura Show podcast for Tuesday, January 22nd. This is our one.
Dr. Laura is on right now.
You started this out by telling me your husband had no trouble doing this and leaving your kid at home. I would have dumped his ass the first time he did that to my kid. Instantly. It's not surprising to me that your kids don't like him. That's why I'm asking. If your husband purchased you, if you see yourself as a possession, without a mind of your own, you can't look and see the inequality of it. Your kids don't like him, but you're married to them, which makes the future life with your family, with this guy, a problem. But you're more concerned, I think, with keeping this guy than your kids. Look, I'm alone now because I'm widowed. I don't really like the whole concept of being alone, but I'll be alone before I'll be with somebody that would alienate my kids.
But if I had all those kids and they didn't want to be anywhere near this guy I married, woo-hoo, I'd say check the ripcord on your parachute.
Just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger, welcoming you to this hour of the program right here on Sirius XM Stars 111. I'm sorry, Triumph 111. You are here with Dan and Mallory screening your calls, the amazing Carson Smith engineering, orchestrating our music, producing the segues. Again, my number is 1-800-DR-LAURA, 1-800-375-2872. I love the subject I'm going to speak briefly about because I wrote a whole book on it. Concept is revenge. The book I wrote is Surviving a Shark Attack on Land. And it's all about revenge. You're going to have to read it. This is a book for everybody. I love. I embrace. I hug. The whole concept of revenge. Whoa! Some of you are reeling now, I can tell that. What is revenge? Very simply. You don't know what revenge is? Let me tell you. It's inflicting harm or hurt for an injury or wrong that you suffered at somebody's hands. Now, I'm a big believer in revenge. You can call it consequences. You can call it justice. You can call it anything you'd like. But I think people who do bad should have a consequence. And I don't believe in karma. And I don't want to count on hell. Now, what does that mean? That means I still don't want you to do anything immoral or illegal. Damn, how can you get revenge if you don't do something immoral or illegal? Well, basically, I don't want to backsplash on you. There's no point in getting revenge if you end up getting hurt again. Then nothing has been accomplished. And if you're going to get revenge on somebody who is not going to learn from turnabout is fair play, if they're actually not going to learn the lesson, then they're just going to retaliate and there you go again. So I don't want to put you in a position where you're going to pay a price for what some people call revenge, I call justice. So just before I turned on the microphone, I was thinking of opportunities I've had for revenge. Unfortunately, I've had many situations that I believe called for profound revenge, but I realized I couldn't get it. That is such a bummer. And if you don't believe in karma and you don't, you're not quite sure they're going to rot in hell, it is a serious bummer. Because I'm not going to do anything that's immoral or illegal. Because I don't want to get slapped back again after the first hurt. And there have been so many times I have tried to get the person who did the evil, taken care of. In some size, shape, or form, that was not immoral or illegal, and it takes away like 99.9% of your opportunities. Which is why I wrote the book, Surviving a Shark Attack on Land, because most of the time, you can't get revenge unless you become the perp. But I was thinking of one particular opportunity, and you know that other phrase is, revenge is a meal best served cold. That means when you're no longer angry and you come up with some kind of mechanism where they pay a price for what they've done. Now, we have a legal system in which people pay a price for what they've done. It's not always fair. Sometimes people rape and maim and get out in 2 years. I mean, it's not always fair, but at least it's some kind of attempt. There was an opportunity. A million years ago, I worked at a particular radio station. I'm not going to identify anybody. And a number of people came to me and complained about somebody working at that station for sexual harassment, not rape, but sexual harassment. And I said, well, I'm like a third party here. You have to go to the boss. Well, Gutless Wonders, probably 20 years later, signed up for hashtag Me Too, but at the time wouldn't take care of it. And since I had no firsthand knowledge, I couldn't take care of it for anybody, although I like to be Crusader Rabbit. But I would say 15 to 20 years later, I was at a particular station that day, and it came to my attention that that particular guy had applied for a job. So I went to the person who could make the decision, and I said the whole truth. I have no firsthand knowledge, but a number, meaning three, women told me he was sexually harassing them. So for the sake of protecting this company that you're boss of, I suggest you do some research to determine whether or not that holds water, and then make your decision based upon your research. So I did not definitively say he did anything because I had no firsthand knowledge, and you know how I'm tight about that. But I did say, for the sake of the company, you better check this out. And you know, there are rumor mills and connections and people talk, and every industry has that, and I guess he did his research because this guy was not hired. Maybe he was not hired for other reasons. I'll never know that because nobody was going to share that with me. But I thought about this for 2 days. I didn't just flip and then go, yes, I got the SOP. I mean, I personally didn't like him either. I thought he was a jerk. Nonetheless, I made it clear I had no firsthand knowledge, and I suggested the guy do his own research. That I was concerned because if you're going to hire somebody with a history, you're putting your own company at risk for lawsuits. Seemed fair. Did I feel good? Now, this is a guy I had a lot of trouble with and I didn't like, so I didn't cry over this. But I spent 2 days examining my conscience, my ethical format in my head to make sure that I wasn't doing this for the wrong reason. And then I thought, it doesn't even matter if I'm doing this for the wrong reason. If these are indeed facts, then people would be at risk, and so would the company. So at that point, I thought I had a moral obligation to alert that there might be a problem. Research it. Because I'm not giving you any definitive things. I thought that was revenge. But it was polite and it was moral. I think it was righteous. And I look back that I probably protected a number of women. Probably. 99% of the time or more, you're never in any position What I don't think you ought to do is they shot at you, you wait for a day and you shoot at them. I don't mean literally. But someday you may be in the position to clarify some realities which may stand in the way of what they want. I love that. Now, in terms of tit for tat, I have told many a parent that I would be disgusted with them completely if, after we had one yesterday, son knocked up some girl, she gave birth, he doesn't want anything to do with the kid. Really, I told the mother, this was an adult son, that she should tell him, I will take from your playbook how to treat a child. Since you are going to abandon and neglect yours, I'm going to abandon and neglect mine. Do not cross my threshold again. Don't call me. Don't write. Until you take responsibility for your child, I don't have a child. I don't consider that revenge. I consider that fair play. I consider that an opportunity to teach her son something that will make him take responsibility. Or he just loses his family, just like this kid has lost him and the family. Oh, I did tell the mother to connect with the woman and make sure she stayed connected so she could be grandma. So I believe there should be consequences to actions. I just don't want you to do anything that's immoral or illegal. Nor do I want you to do something that will simply get that person to retaliate. Then you've lost again. Anyway, the book is called Surviving a Shark Attack on Land. And I spent a whole book discussing all the aspects of this, giving a million examples. You'll find something in that book that will help you cope. I can promise you that. You will find something in the book that will help you cope. Because we all have these circumstances where people cause us pain and then just walk away. How do we deal with them? And how do we deal with life after that? Surviving a Shark Attack on Land. Get it. My number, 1-800-375-2872. Robbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Laura. How are you today?
Good. What can I do for you?
Well, my son recently got married the end of last year, and upon his engagement, I requested that they do a prenup.
Now, the prenup. Okay, stop.
Okay.
Whatever came from that splashed into your face, you deserved. You had no right to do that. That was, in addition to having no right to do that, that was a seriously stupid thing to do if you ever wanted to get along with her.
Okay.
So I'm sure this didn't go well, but I think this was a big mistake for a mother-in-law, pre-mother-in-law, to get involved in a grown son's marital issues with money.
This was something that was pre-planned since my sister.
You never should have opened your mouth. Honey, I don't care what the circumstance is. It was not your place. It was his or hers, not yours.
Okay.
You made a terrible mistake.
Okay. And with that mistake, then she had sent me a very, I wanted to sit and talk with her, which she would not give me that courtesy.
No. At that point, you shut the door. You told her she was a bimbo, it probably wouldn't last, and you want to protect the family money for whatever. You blew the entire lifetime of relationship. And you expected her to sit down and talk to you. I don't know, are you on too many tranquilizers?
No. Again, this all came from the pre-planning of my sister's terminal illness.
Irrelevant. It was not your place. I'm just going to repeat myself. So,
okay.
If you want to know how to get back in her good graces, I don't think you can. I don't know how you would.
Okay.
So as I said, her perception is you saw her as a bimbo and you wanted to protect the family money.
And actually, I don't think of her in that way at all.
No, I didn't. I did, but it's perceived that way.
So what should I do? How should I try and make amends and make this a good relationship? And
I don't know that you can. I shouldn't. I probably wouldn't open the door to you real fast if I was the daughter-in-law. And with her probably being on the youngish side, less maturity and experience with these things, you're even more of dead meat. I think the only hope you would have is to lie through your brains and go over there and say, thinking about it, I realized it was none of my business. I should never have involved myself. I hope this marriage goes on forever. A prenup would never be necessary. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was all caught up in the illness, and I wasn't thinking, and I pray that you will forgive me. I think if you approach her that way, you have a chance.
Okay, and I will do that because they do intend on having grandchildren, and I do very much want to be a part of their lives. And
I wish you had called me before you did what you did if you wanted to be a grandmother. It seems like it's pretty obvious that the stupidest thing you can do when you want to be a grandmother to your son's kids is to irritate the prospective mother. On the scale of dumb, that's 10 to the 10th degree. That's just so dumb. And I don't even need to hear the story about the sister dying and the money and all of that. It really doesn't matter. From the girl's perspective, she's on a reverse time clock, and we want to make sure she doesn't get the money. So the only thing you can do is plead. You lost your mind because you were so upset about the illness. You weren't thinking, and you're so sorry. That was just stupid and terrible of you. You want their marriage to go on forever, and then you say, I pray and I beg you to forgive me. I pray and I beg you to forgive me. People usually melt when they hear that. Whether you mean any of it or not, my number, 1-800-375-2872. That's a good mother-in-law no-no call, isn't it? We'll be right back.
Do the right thing. This is the Dr. Laura Program.
I'm sorry for the way things are in China. I'm sorry things ain't what they used to be. More than anything,
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Just about every woman has had difficulty finding a bra that fits perfectly. You know, all the different companies make different styles. But I've discovered a brand, Third Love Bras. They've used millions of real women's measurements to design their bras with breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and incredible feel. Third Love is the industry leader with 70 sizes to choose from, including their signature half-cup sizes. Take their Fit Finder quiz. It's only a few simple questions. And Third Love helps you identify your true breast size and shape and find styles that will fit your body. They've also got no tags to make you itch, straps. They don't slip. They're the most comfortable bras you'll own. Third Love even guarantees you'll get a perfect fit, returns or exchanges, free and easy. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering you, my listeners, 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/Dr. Laura now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Dr. Laura for 15% off today. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
My husband passed away March 3rd of last year, and very suddenly. And about 2.5 months ago, I started dating a man. We go to movies, go to dinner, go to a play, that sort of thing. And I have a 17-year-old daughter. She'll be 18 in May. And my best friend tells me that I'm setting a bad example for my daughter. And I just wanted your opinion whether or not that's what I'm doing.
So it's not even a year that your husband is dead and you're dating.
Yes. And...
Okay. How is your daughter? Are you introducing him to your daughter, or are you...
No.
Leaving her alone. Good. So does she know you're dating?
She knows that I go to movies and go out to dinner and that sort of thing, but I've not brought him around her or anything like that.
And have you sat down and had a mother-daughter discussion about dating? Her, you dating?
Yes. Yes. And I just told her, you know, the where we live, there's not really a lot of things to do and certainly not anything for single people to do. Everybody goes to bars and that sort of thing. And I don't do that. And she knows the guy because he was friends with my husband. And he was, he's, and
has
we've been
she
friends
expressed,
for years.
I know, but right now you're only thinking of yourself. So let me try to get you focused on your daughter.
Okay.
Has anything changed in her behavior?
No. She's right on track to graduate and go to college and,
So dad's dead, you're dating, and she is like nothing happened. That's pretty interesting.
Well, we've been to grief counseling together. And
okay. Well, I just need you to keep an open line of communication with your daughter. Keep him away from her.
Okay.
And focus in only on being her mom and helping her through all this transition.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. My number, 1-800-375-2872. I don't know. JJ, welcome to the program.
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr.
Hi.
Laura.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
What can I help you with?
Well, a good friend of mine suggested that I give you a call because we're going through an interesting cycle in our life. I have two teenage boys, or 17 and 15, soon to be.
Cycle
16
means
and
you're
18.
You're going through something again and again. Is that what you're meant to say?
Well, you know, life has phases, and
no,
I'm
ma'am,
wondering.
That's
if
not
my...
what I asked you about. I know you haven't heard the program before, but I get people to be pretty specific and clear as to what they're trying to tell me so that I can really understand and be the most helpful. So when you say a cycle,
okay,
with your husband, are you going through the same problem again and again? That would be a cycle.
Well, we've had other problems.
Is that a yes or a no?
Particular
is that a
problem.
Yes or a no?
Yes. Yes, we've had other issues.
No, I didn't ask about other issues. The problem you're calling me about, the specific problem you're calling me about, have you gone through this before with him? This specific
no.
problem?
No.
So this is a new one?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me this new problem that is not a cycle, that it's just a new problem.
Well, he bought a $40,000 boat about 10 days ago.
Is that going to mean you can't pay your... very
selfish and extravagant. And I don't think he's really looked at our budget. Of course, he thinks that we can figure it out, and we probably will figure it out. My concern
okay, can
is
you
that,
slow
you know,
down?
I've got a son going
to
college.
Ask. I got some questions to ask.
Yes.
You are unaware of how much money is in the bank and in stocks and bonds and in savings?
Oh, I'm very aware. I'm very aware.
Okay.
I'm the one who handles our finances.
So, right. So... did he pay cash or is he paying on time?
Well, he got a bonus from work, so he used some of his bonus money for the deposit. And we haven't had payments yet. I mean, he just purchased it 10 days ago.
Got it. Okay.
So
is it a new one or a used one?
$40,000.
Yeah, it has to be a used one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you guys will not be able to pay your mortgage or kid going to college
I
on this?
I believe that
is
I will
a deal
be
breaker
able to pay
for that?
Mortgage.
And
we will be
so
able to pay
the money
for college.
So the money,
I'm sorry,
so the money
we will
be
have
able
to pay mortgage. Sorry.
And does this interfere with paying college?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's going to interfere.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to ask you to get your husband on the line with you. because I don't think I can be the slightest bit helpful until I understand his point of view and his perception of what the finances are, and if he really sacrificed his son's education for the boat. So we sort of need to hear his point of view. That way I can be helpful. Lorna, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you. What can I do for you?
Yes. Well, I'm kind of hoping you can give me some advice as far as which direction should I go, if any direction, for my daughter. She would be 31. She has been married now for almost 10 years and just recently found out that her husband has basically been cheating on her throughout their whole marriage. She was completely dumbfounded by it, and they have three little girls. And I'm not quite sure how to advise her as a mother. She's decided that she's going to stay, and she thinks that it'll be okay.
You need to keep out of it. Sorry, I was trying to get a word in edgewise there. Need to keep out of it and just be very available to the grandkids.
Okay, that's exactly what I will do then. I appreciate that. Just didn't want to overstep my bounds.
Don't take sides. Keep out of it. We don't know the truth. We don't know the depth. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. What we do know is these kids need you. So don't do anything that'll get in the way of that.
All right. I really appreciate that advice. That's what I will do.
Good. You're welcome. Because we have to decide. We have to decide in these situations what our goal is. And the goal is to stay grandma. You piss off one or both, we could lose that possibility. So we don't want to lose that possibility. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
I need your help.
Thank you.
In a situation where I'm not sure how to navigate my husband's depression. And after 22 years of marriage.
Okay, you do understand that nobody can change anybody else.
Right.
The only thing I can help you with is what you do for you.
Okay. So we have two children, a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. And his current state of mind is telling him he has been prescribed medication, but he has not taken it and won't take it. And he's talking about moving out so he can figure himself out. He would like to isolate himself and be alone to figure this
out.
Then
what you need to do right now is to get an attorney and to file for a legal separation so that the things about finances and visitation are all worked out before he walks out the door. You have to be smart and self-protective of you, the kids, the dog, the house.
Okay.
You can't make him be or do anything. You can only protect yourself. And that was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
You can respond to this.
Okay.
So today, get an attorney. Get separation papers.
Just get them ready or...
No,
or
get them done and have the attorney call him, get his attorney. Okay, you're talking over me. You have to act as though it's over.
Okay.
Because I don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
And there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Right.
So you have to protect you and the kids. And you do that with a legal separation, where he still has financial obligations.
Okay. Yes.
And if his mood is odd to you and his behavior is odd, I would only have the seeing the kids be under supervision.
Okay. Okay.
Not all stories end well. I need you to be self-protective. Do you understand?
I do. Not sure how to handle, talk to my kids about it, but yes.
You just tell them the truth of what's going on. You just tell them the truth. Dad has decided to move out.
Okay.
If you have any questions, ask your dad. I don't have the answers. That's how you handle the kids, unless they're 3 and 4 years old. How old are your kids?
15 and 12.
Yeah, they can ask dad.
Okay.
And when they ask dad, that'll rattle him. And when you hand him the papers and say, you need to sign these, and I'm concerned about somebody saying he was not of sound mind, as long as he's still going to work and everything, I don't know, you'll have to ask your attorney all of that.
Okay.
But you pass the answer, the questions at your kids off to him. Ask him that tonight. Ask him to explain it to you.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want anybody mad at you or thinking you threw him out.
No. Right. No.
You got to protect yourself,
dear.
I'm all in.
Right.
I know.
I'm definitely not throwing him out. So filing for separation.
Today.
I know I can't control anything that he does.
Right.
And he's going to do whatever he's going to do.
Right.
But I have it's a feeling, but it's a fear that if I present him with the papers, it'll be a catalyst for things to happen that might not actually happen.
Yes. One of them might be he goes, oh, shit. Guess I better not do this.
Yeah, you
calls the meeting
think,
to order. Ma'am, nobody is a sightseer here. I'm asking you to make sure you protect yourself and your kids. He is now secondary. Do you understand that? He is not your primary concern anymore. You and the kids are. He's leaving.
Got it.
So what he does or doesn't do is not your fault nor your responsibility at this point anymore. He said he's leaving.
Right.
Now your responsibility shifts to your kids and you.
Okay.
And your ability to stay in your home and eat three squares. So you've got to change the direction of your thinking.
Okay.
Accept that he's leaving and you now have to take care of business. And when women don't take this kind of advice, they end up regretting it.
Yeah.
Because one of the things your attorney's going to have to do is start freezing accounts so he doesn't take all the money out. We have no idea what he's going to do. I have no idea if he's a girlfriend, if whatever his mental disorder is, whatever it is. I have no idea, and neither do you. Was he seeing a psychiatrist or a regular internist?
He's seeing he has a medical doctor and he's seeing a therapist, a licensed social worker.
Okay. So he saw at least somebody in the profession, but clearly it was the general doctor who gave him the medicine.
Correct. He recommended it.
Let me explain something to you.
And then
internists do not take 4 years of psychiatry. But they hand out psychotropic medication as though they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no way of knowing if there's been a correct diagnosis. And this could be a medical problem. Not even a psychiatric one. So that's what happens when you don't have the right people doing the job that's necessary. You understand what I'm saying now?
I do. May I add that the doctor, they did rule out that it's not medical. He's had every test under the sun. There's nothing medically wrong, physically wrong with him. And that's where the doctor came to the conclusion.
Yeah, and then he should have sent him to a psychiatrist.
Okay. He went to a social worker instead of a psychiatrist.
I understand that. Social workers are wonderful, but I wouldn't have sent him to a social worker.
Okay.
Would you?
No. The doctor.
You don't have to say more than it was. Okay. If there was something wrong with his arm and the doctor sent him to a foot doctor, would you think there's something wrong?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. I refer to social workers all the time, but not for something like this. So, you have your marching orders. Don't wuss out. Your kids are depending upon you to take care of business.
Okay. Yes, they are.
And this makes it all real for him. Very real, as opposed to, oh, you just stay there and wait for me and I'm going to go. Maybe I have a girlfriend on this. I have no idea. I'm just going to go see. You know, I'm suspicious of a girlfriend. I'm suspicious of it. Doesn't mean I'm right. I'm just suspicious. My number, 1-800-375-2872. We're going to take a break. Come right back. It happened is not remorse. It happened is not a phrase anybody uses when they take responsibility. It happened is about a tornado. Getting a lap dance is not it happened. Because when you're walking down the street, you don't get a lap dance like you can get a tornado.
One part reality check, two parts tough love, and telling you what you need to hear. That's Dr. Law.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. My number, 1-800-375-2872. I've got a great way to simplify your travel. Get away luggage. It's literally the perfect luggage with everything you need, like an ejectable TSA-improved battery charger so you'll never get stuck in airports or on planes with a dead phone again. It's got four spinner wheels that glide smoothly with you in any direction. My favorite thing about Away has to be their stylish hard-shell designs, guaranteed for life. If anything happens to your suitcase, they'll fix or replace it for life. And since Away sells their products directly to you, they're able to offer higher quality luggage at a lower price because they skip all the retail markups. Sounds smart, right? Good, because I have a special offer. Go to awaytravel.com, get $20 off with the promo code Dr. Laura. Travel with your Away luggage for 100 days. 100 days, if you don't love it, you can return it, no questions asked. Amazing. Get $20 off with the promo code Dr. Laura at awaytravel.com. That's awaytravel.com. Mia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
So my question is, my husband and I had gone to a party, and we were talking to another couple that we enjoyed very much. So I decided to say, hey, would you guys like to come over for dinner? And they said, sure. And they did. And soon they walked in, the wife said to me, could I have a tour of your house? And I felt uncomfortable with that. Am I wrong?
Why were you uncomfortable with that? It has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has to do with you were uncomfortable. Why?
I thought it was sort of nosy and invasive.
Okay, then if you think it's nosy and invasive, say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. House isn't the way I would want it to be to have a tour. Over. Bring them to the dining room.
Okay. Why would somebody ask to see someone's house?
Happens to me all the time. So I was going to ask you about your house. I happen to have a large house with unbelievable to die for views. And people say, can we see the house? Because I've decorated all the bedrooms. Different theme. One is Japanese, one is Old West, one is Africa, one I call the girly girl room. So I have no problem walking people around. I don't think it's invasive. I think it's kind of nice that they want to see all the decor. Tell me everything is beautiful. I did a great job. I like it. I have no problem with it. If you think you're being cased for a robbery, or if you're ashamed or embarrassed about your house, whatever personal emotional things you have about feeling encroached upon, if that's your own sort of life's state of mind, then you just say, you know, maybe another time, my house isn't the way I'd like it to be for a tour. That's it. And you take them to whatever room you're permitting them to be in.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I've gone to some people's homes when they're sort of amazing and said, can you take me around? Because it's amazing. Yeah, okay. But if you're not comfortable with it, just take care of it. Nothing agonizing over it. It's your right. It's your house. You don't want people to see the whole thing? They don't have to. What I don't like is anybody doing that without permission? That's when I go get them and bring them back and go, you know, everybody's here. Let's be here. I wanted to see the house. And I'd say, you know, I get it. But right now, this is what we're doing. So I just don't have to explain it. Don't have to argue about it. That doesn't happen very often. But when somebody does that without permission, that's a no-no. You don't go around anybody's house without permission. My number, 1-800-375-2872. Let me help you about you. I can't help you about somebody else, but I can help you about you. Or if you want to know how to handle yourself because somebody else is causing you grief, that's good. 1-800-375-2872. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm 38, and I've got my husband and I have two kids, 10 and 13, and I got married about 16 years ago, and the first year of our marriage, I had a one-night stand, and so I told my husband about
why
it.
Why in the first year of your marriage would you have a one-night stand, and then why would you tell him about it? Both of those questions are important.
Well, I think I felt very unloved.
You had just gotten married and you already felt unloved? Yeah. What? How could that happen possibly?
He said that the only reason that he got married was to have sex. And so we ended up going to counseling.
And when did he say the only reason I married you is to have sex?
It was before I had the one night stand. So it was hurtful.
I have a question.
Sure.
Why didn't you just go home to your mother and say he said the only reason he wanted to marry me was sex?
Yeah.
No, my question is why didn't you go home to your mother instead of sort of making a skank out of yourself? Why didn't you just go home to your mom and say he said this? I'm asking you to tell me why you made that choice.
Well, I didn't have a very good childhood growing up. And
why didn't you go to your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your best friend, a teacher?
Yeah.
Don't play games with me. Why didn't you go to somebody for help rather than skanking out?
Yeah, I definitely should have. And it's been a huge regret for, you know.
But I need to know the thinking.
Then.
What was the thinking? I'm going to stay here, but hump somebody else. I mean, what was the thinking?
Yeah. Well, I felt love and respect, and I found out that he had a pretty bad pornography problem. And
so your solution was to stay married, make two kids, and then call me 16 years later.
Yeah. So, you know, we went to counseling and...
How old is the oldest one?
13.
I'm sorry. How old is the youngest one?
10.
Okay. You have 8 years. You have 8 years to keep the family together for the kids.
Okay.
So leave him alone with his porn. Whatever.
Okay.
And seem pleasant around the house. But in your next life, should you get recycled and not come back as a praying mantis, when you realize you made a mistake, repair it, don't add to it, and then bring two other human beings into the middle of it.
Right. Yeah, no.
But since you did,
I feel as though...
You know, how you feel doesn't even matter anymore. What the kids need is the only thing that matters. Your feelings are irrelevant, and that's what a good mother would think, that her feelings are not relevant anymore. You made so many mistakes, it's not funny, but you have to make sure... Yeah. This minimizes hurting the kids.
So another question, recently I had found, a bunch of pictures of me that he has taken and then some more pornography. So I questioned him about it. And
none of that matters. I just told you it doesn't matter.
So he did end up threatening me. He said, you know, if you ever cheated
I'm going to let you go because I think you're playing me. My number, 1-800-375-2872. You showed no affect when I told you something very significant about how your feelings don't matter, your obligation to children is what matters. You had no affect, and then you went on to make the story uglier. So I think you were playing me. Those at home who wonder how I know when it's happening, that's an example. My number, 1-800-375-2872. I want you to take a good look at your window coverings. Doesn't have to be right now, but do it later today or sometime this week. Could they use a refresh? Go to Blinds.com to get inspired by their customer reviews, before and after pictures. The team at Blinds.com makes the selection, ordering, and installation of brand new window coverings fast and easy. Their design consultants will chat online, get on the phone, even FaceTime with you. That's how committed they are to helping you pick and install the perfect window coverings. Plus, every order gets free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation. Sure, Blinds.com is America's number one choice for custom-made-to-order window coverings, but what you need to know is they're my number one choice. So go to Blinds.com now through January 27th for an additional 5% off with the promo code Dr. Laura. That's Blinds.com, promo code Dr. Laura, for an additional 5% off their huge site-wide savings. Blinds.com, promo code Dr. Laura. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's up?
So, I am 44, and my husband and I adopted a tiny person. She'll be 2 in a couple of months. My background is I was adopted, and I was adopted right from birth, so I always knew, but I don't know. I had challenges with it growing up. You know, you grow up, you're like, what's wrong with me?
Okay, can you slow that down? Can you slow that down, please?
Sure.
I'm sorry, I wasn't funny yet. As soon as I'm funny, you can laugh.
Okay.
All right. Two people, a man and a woman married, adopt you because they wanted you.
Yes.
And your first thought is, what's wrong with you? That's not even rational.
True.
So for you to keep embracing at 44 years of age, that concept is curious.
Oh, no. I'm actually beyond that now. I'm 44.
When did you finally get beyond?
15 years ago, actually. I'm good.
Tell me why.
I got some help. Uh-huh.
Okay. Why do you think you in particular needed help? Because frankly, most adopted kids feel special that they were chosen.
You know,
how do you think you got to feel bad? And let me ask you another question. I'm just trying to understand the dynamic here. It's very important.
Sure.
You were adopted from birth, which meant whoever gave birth to you didn't know you at all, right? Because you have no personality,
correct,
no character, no conversation when you're just born.
Right.
So how is that anywhere close to a rejection?
Well, in retrospect, I think it's a compilation of, I'm a minority, and so I grew up in a very... I was like the only minority.
Okay, we have to take a break. Now you're starting to get some information out. Now go do the right thing.